Presenter will be Dr. Paul Meisner. Paul Meisner is the Director of Research Program for Development at Montefiore Medical Center. He serves as Director of Network Development for the New York City Research Improvement Networking Group, a practice-based research network dedicated to research in urban underserved populations. His interests are to develop comparative effectiveness research with a focus on social and behavioral interventions in urban primary care settings. An APHA Executive Board member, he holds an MSPH in Health Policy and Administration from UNC. So thank you.
Thank you, and I have to actually apologize to the group a little bit. I'm also, as an executive board member, I'm on the governing council, so I'm going to have to run out after this, but I'm happy to talk to anybody afterwards at lunchtime. Just see me, or my colleague Nico Berdichas is right there, and she can help you get a hold of me. So thanks for doing this. I wanted to, I'm going to take this in a little bit of a different direction. So we just now heard a little bit about the patient-centered medical home, and one of the strategies that we routinely use for trying to implement the medical home are learning collaboratives. And I'm wondering here, has anybody participated in a learning collaborative? A couple. Yeah. Has anybody participated in multiple learning collaboratives? Couple there too. So one of the things that we kind of understand in learning collaboratives is that they are pretty intensive efforts of working together. And so I wanted to, nothing to disclose. So I wanted to talk to you really about our project, which we call the Bronx Ongoing Pediatric Screening, BOPS, in the medical home. So we have the medical home, and we have a pediatric screening project that we've been undertaking, and we had kind of this interesting opportunity that I'll present to you, where we were doing this project, and it was a HRSA-funded project, and was done with both faculty from Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and was done in the practices operated by Montefiore Medical Center. And we launched it in 2011, and here are our objectives really, which was to use our practice-based research network, which included 13 clinical sites, which were a mix of pediatrics and family medicine and school-based health centers in the Bronx, and we are designing a continuous and a comprehensive, coordinated, kind of evidence-based approach, which is very patient-centered medical home approach to looking at four dimensions of pediatric screening. And so what I was very interested in understanding and kind of looking at was, did learning happen in learning collaboratives? And can we really show that the practices were learning? And so we've been thinking about this and trying to look to see if we could provide any evidence that there was actual learning happening, so the practices were learning. So that's really the objective here that I wanted to discuss. So let me just kind of review the program, pediatric screening. And I don't know how familiar everybody is with patient-centered medical homes, but there are not really a overabundance of pediatric measures in patient-centered medical home, because most of the pediatric things are not high-cost kind of things. So, you know, pediatric screening is in and of itself kind of a special dimension of the patient-centered medical home. So here are the four things: newborn infectious disease and genetics screening, and then we are doing early childhood developmental and social-emotional screening, school-age mental health, and adolescent sexual health. These are the four dimensions of pediatrics we added in. So we had these learning collaboratives, and the learning collaboratives are based on the Institute for Healthcare Improvement methodology. We have physician-led, clinician-led, multidisciplinary teams. We have a quality improvement coaching process in place, and we actually conducted quarterly learning sessions with all the sites. So these are the 13 sites would come together to share lessons and solutions. We also included in kind of our best practices pay for quality, where we provided monetary incentives to sites based on meeting specific screening goals. And we had maintenance of certification credit for physicians through the American Board of Family Medicine and the American Board of Pediatrics, so that the physicians participating in the project could get credit for that. And with all practice improvement kind of stuff, we were very data intensive, and we had a robust data feedback loop, which really was key to the project and provided site-level and provider-level data on a monthly basis. This is one of our smart reports. This is what it looks like. Nice, colorful, you know, we're doing pediatrics. You have to have nice colors in there. So this is on our infant and toddler developmental screening, and these are the mental health tools on the far left, the ASQ and the ASQ and the MCHAT and the SE, and these are validated instruments. We're not, you know, inventing anything new here. We're just applying those instruments. So I wanted to show you a little bit of this. This is our structure. We have an implementation group. We have some HRSA advisory. We have an advisory group, project staff, and there you can see the 13 sites, and it kind of looks like this from an evaluation structure, leadership group, and the sites and the data feeds. You know, when you do learning collaboratives and you do these quality things, you really are doing run charts, and so let me just present some run charts to you. I'm going to go over this kind of quickly because I want to spend more time on did the learning actually happen. But, you know, this is what they look like, and we annotate them based about when certain activities are happening. So these are our newborn testing, and you can see that we went from virtually very little to over 90%. And these are averages, right? These are quarterly averages, as you can see in the data down at the bottom. And you can also see the volume that was happening down at the bottom at the 13 sites. This is our early childhood development and social emotional screening. And what's kind of interesting here is you see how it curves up, and then we add a final domain. So we were kind of staggering these domains and these dimensions in. And so sometimes when you add a new dimension in, you know, there's some moving of the envelope, and it sometimes it goes down a little bit on some of the other dimensions, and you can see that. This is our mental health screening for 4 to 18 year olds. You see the additions of new domains and, you know, what it does to some of your indicators, but we kind of moved up. And here's the sexual history documentation, and this one's actually an important one. So you can see we did this within healthcare maintenance visits for the adolescents, and we do pretty well there. But the red line down at the bottom is all those visits that are not healthcare maintenance visits, and all those visits for adolescents where they came in for an acute visit when they hadn't had a healthcare maintenance visit. So that's a pretty important one, and you can really see, and we're very proud of that. We're nearing 50% on kind of capturing adolescents on a routine basis. Again, this is another. So this is, you know, we're also identifying those that are sexually active. So this is not amongst just adolescents, but these are ones that are identified as sexually active within the healthcare maintenance visits, and this is the non-healthcare maintenance visits. All right, so that's kind of routine learning collaborative patient-centered medical home. So the first two dimensions that we have and we wanted to look at were more kind of focused on improvement. That's on the newborn screening and the STI testing. And, you know, we should be doing that. Those are established processes, and we're really just improving them. While the second two, which are on the mental health for the adolescents and for the young children, those were new. And we added those in, and then we had to focus on them, on improving them. So it takes time for us to kind of show a rate of improvement. It takes time for us to show that there's some learning. And so we wanted really to know, can we shorten the time for learning to occur as teams get more experience in being engaged in the process? And so what we did is we started to look at the quarterly change in screening rates. So these are very similar to what what I had just showed you in the run charts, except that what we're doing here is we are we're weighting them for the volume. Right, we were just giving you averages. I hope I'm going. Oh, there you go. Sorry, I was going in the wrong direction. I was wondering what was going on here. So we're waiting them for the volume. And so what's actually interesting, and what I wanted to really see, is you can see how that slope goes up and then it levels out. So, you know, how long does that take? And so we have these. So the newborn domain is something that we should be doing. This is not really new to doing anything. And so you can see that it takes about 6 quarters to get up there, and then it levels out and stand and does that. And then you can see for adolescents with sexually act in the healthcare maintenance visits, it takes three quarters to level out. And you can see also kind of how the learning happens, the learning sessions, and that there are bumps when you have the learning sessions, that they start increasing. And so, we are kind of actually seeing learning, right? So that's always very exciting to me when, we can actually see that there are opportunities where systems can learn. Here's the sexual activity screens for adolescents in their non-healthcare visits, healthcare maintenance visits, and some of them can be very high. And what's kind of interesting here, like the difference between what happens with HIV and what happens with gonorrhea and chlamydia, very much mirror each other, but just a little bit different. And we start to wonder sometimes about why that could be different, all sorts of theories. And here's our screening rates, and you can see how we're going up quarter by quarter. And these are the two different dimensions of adolescent screening here, and really just two different tools, right? Again, volume-adjusted rates for the developmental and social-emotional screening. So I think that really what we kind of see is that there is a plateau. There's a learning curve, and then it plateaus out. And you can see this in particular, as I was pointing out, in the newborn screening in the sixth quarter. In the early childhood, it still kind of seems to be going up. The school age and adolescent mental health also hasn't been reached. And we think that for the adolescent kind of visits, we have those two different types between the healthcare maintenance and the non-healthcare maintenance. And so it took 6 quarters for us to get this to the healthcare maintenance, starting that plateau, and 7 quarters for the non-healthcare maintenance. So I want to say that, I think based on what we're showing you, that you can be kind of confident that learning does happen in learning collaboratives. And that's the big takeaway point. Although one of the points I would like to make is that it is relatively modest. It is continuous. And it varies quite a bit. And I think that one of the things that you saw, those dips, so that our interpretation is that there are competing demands at certain times. And while you're focusing on some of these objectives, they still do kind of suffer at points in time. And so that we think that having learning collaborative sessions keeps them in focus, and it kind of stimulates them to continue to focus on those. And so those are our conclusions, that we really have these learning collaboratives to not have backsliding. I want to make one other point here. So one of my great interests was, so we have 13 sites, and I wanted to look at each one of the individual 13 sites. But I do have some colleagues who are more statistically oriented than I am, and they prohibited me from actually making any conclusions based on those 13 sites because we have very small numbers actually of observations. So thank you very much.